Good evening. So, we're going to resume this stuff. So, we're going to resume the VOD. So, just to remind everybody, I think most people were here last time, the first series. It's important just to review, I would say, the first lecture from last series, which really discussed how a person works on Mussar, which is slowly, which is not only to learn it intellectually, which we'll be doing here, but as much as we talk about it, you actually got to bring it home. And one of the reasons, actually, I gave a few weeks off is ideally, people should have been working on anger and patience, because otherwise, it's like another lecture series. It's like you get a lecture series, and certainly it has an effect. Don't get me wrong. But it's going to be a very, very minor effect lifelong if a person doesn't inculcate it. And the benefits of what we discussed last time of anger and patience are eternal. I mean, literally it transforms a person's personal happiness, personal home, tranquility. It's really, really worthwhile to invest in actually doing it. The exercises we mentioned, because as discussed, the world of the intellect is one thing, but what really changes and metamorphosizes an individual is practicing it, is implementing it, is making it part of life. The intellectual world is great, but more important, it's like I told someone recently, you can learn about Shabbos for 100 years, but there's no comparison to keeping Shabbos. You learn how great Shabbos is, and the wonders of Shabbos, and how holy Shabbos is. But you got, at the end of the day, if you really want to live Shabbos, you got to keep Shabbos. And the same thing is with all these beautiful character traits. And as discussed last time in that first class, the purpose of life, is the Vilna Gaon says, is to be misakin, is to rectify our character traits. It's the purpose of life. It enhances our life. It enhances our spouse's lives. It enhances the people around us' life. Okay? Now, believe it or not, one or two people asked me what I'll be speaking about next. They wanted advance notice. They wanted inside information. And both these people actually requested to speak about happiness. People are very into being happy. It's a good thing to be happy. He does have vodim on happiness. We're not going to do that right away. And I'll tell you why. I'm not a believer that you can be happy, truly, not actually to the men yesterday, I was talking about really means happy. Happy means, simcha is a basic demeanor. It's a basic demeanor. It's a basic Weltanschauung. It's a basic worldview. The people have moments of fun and joy, but to be in a steady state of happiness, one of the four prerequisites of B'chaim Vital, the greatest, the foremost disciple of the Arizal, says for prophecy is steady state happiness. Right? It means you're constantly happy. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but happy. A person will not be happy just by working on happiness things. There has to be other things in context. So the things last time we discussed, which is, let's say, patience and anger, that certainly contributes not only to being a calmer person, but to being a happy person. I think when we talk about gratitude now, if we could inculcate gratitude, it will change our lives so much to the better on an emotional level, on our relationship to others, and our relationship to Hashem. And for those who want to be happy, we'll be a lot happier as well. We'll be a lot happier as well if we could really, really live a life of Hakaras HaTov, a life of gratitude. We'll have a skip in our step. And I was speaking to the men yesterday in the morning about a different topic, about Emunah. I said, I think it's a bizoyin. It's an embarrassment that people don't come in with a skip in their step. Jolly in life, happy. I it kills me that people are semi-mourning their whole lives. I meet mourners every day. Now, no one's sitting there with ashes on their head and ripped clothes, but they're not enjoying life to the extent they should be. People are perpetually unhappy. at some level. Some people are real big kvetchers, and some people are just, they may not even articulate the kvetching. They may not even express it, but at some level, they're not satisfied in life. They're not content in life, which is a tragedy. So they live life at 60, 70, 80% instead of on 100% gears, appreciating life, utilizing life, enjoying life. Yes?
Can you kind of say what I fully agree with what I'm saying? It seems to me there is perhaps an unfortunate culture within certain Jewish circles where if you're not heavy, you know, if you don't have that sort of a... It's almost valued, that sort of sadness, that sort of heaviness, because if you have too easy a life, you know, where is your worth? Like, there's sort of a distrust of joy.
So we'll see. That's a good question. I think happiness, right? Not only does Mordechai ben David say the mitzvah gedol lios besimcha, it's a great mitzvah to be happy. But you know everyone knows who Mordechai ben David is, just to make sure, right? Singer, ger chassid, mitzvah gedol lios besimcha. But that's core Jewish sources. In fact, the Chovas Levavos, the Ethics of the Heart, has whole sections about this. The whole punishment, the rebuke of the Jewish people in Devarim and Deuteronomy, Tachas Asher Lo Avatan Hashem Besimcha, that you didn't serve Hashem joyfully. It doesn't mean that life doesn't have challenges. Certainly life, every day and every moment of life, is a challenge at some level. But the perspective that we have on these challenges and difficulties, right? Great people encounter difficulties. Now, it's always good that if you extend yourself, the difficulties will be more mitzvahs, right? If you push yourself to do chesed, I don't want to get too much of a tangent, right? You'll have, the difficulties will be in extending yourself spiritually, and there'll be less on the material levels for many people. But it's not a contradiction at all. I think that we're not talking about, you know, eating chocolate and, you know, going on roller coasters over here, which is pleasure seeking. There's a very, very big difference between pleasure seeking and being in a state of simcha. A state of simcha means that you're content in your lot. It means when you deal with a person who is stuck in traffic, if they're in a state of simcha, they're able to deal with the traffic. It doesn't mean if they had a choice, it would be not be in traffic. But they appreciate that, listen, if I'm in traffic, there's a reason for it. It's a different reality. It doesn't take away the fact that there's traffic. But your question is not. I just think that it's a misconception, a very... very grave misconception, and certainly if a Jew lives like that, they're not going to be successful, because to be successful in Yiddishkeit, in Judaism, you got to be happy. Otherwise, you sell yourself short. When people are happy, they have energy, they have strength, they have excitement, they have passion, and they have longevity. People are nervous or anxious. I'm not saying that they won't do anything, but they'll be less successful in their endeavors. Okay. Gratitude. Omer Chama Bar Chanina. Says Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. This is actually the Talmud. Meseches Beitza, Tractate Beitza. Hanoisim Atar Al Chaveiro. If you give a present to your friend, says the Talmud, Ein Sarech Lo Hidio. You don't have to tell your friend you gave him a present. Shneamar Moishe Lo Yada Ki Keren Or Panav. We know when Moses came down from Sinai, he had a great shine. Okay? Of course, Michelangelo, when he makes a picture of Moses, what does he show? We have an artist here, right? Horns. You know where he got that from?
Yeah, from the text.
From Jerome. From the Vulgate. Jerome mistranslated it purposefully, because he couldn't believe that anyone but for the false prophet from Nazareth could have had, you know, a light. So he mistranslated when it said Karen or Panav, he put him actually with horns, and Moses came down with horns. It's in the Christian Vulgate, so which is a Latin translation of the Jewish Bible. So he Karen or Panav, but Moses had a glow to him, literally a glow, and God didn't tell him. He didn't even know he had a glow. So Meisivei Ledas Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. So the Talmud typically, when it has a Macy, it means it's a contradiction. First, the Talmud says God didn't tell Moses that he had this great light when he came down from Sinai. The other thing is that the Talmud says that God specifically told Moshe, tell the Jewish people what kind of fantastic gift, what kind of wonderful thing I'm giving you. I'm giving you Shabbos. You should know what Shabbos is. Hey, look, right? Shabbos is holy. No, appreciate what Shabbos is. Mikan Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says from the second opinion, Hanoisim Paslatinik, if you give a little present to a kid, Sarach La Idea La Imo, tell the mother, listen, I gave your kid, I gave him a chocolate bar from Paris. Now, in those days, you give him a piece of bread today, you get a piece of chocolate from Paris. You have a whole selection, okay? So, we see at one level that you should tell the parents, or you should also tell people when they give a gift. Lokasha says the Talmud, Habe Matana de Avida Liguluye, Moses was going to find out about this light. It was something that was going to be figured out if God didn't tell him. So it's not necessary to tell him. But something that a person will never find out or won't come to know, it's a mitzvah to tell them so they can appreciate what they have. That's why Hashem told the Jewish people about Shabbos, because they may have understated or undersold Shabbos. And that's why I should tell the parents, so the kid's not going to tell the parents where they got it from. You tell the parents could appreciate the gift you gave their kids. Shabbos nami matana de avida glu. The Talmud says, what do you mean Shabbos? You live Shabbos. Right? People keep Shabbos, they'll appreciate what Shabbos is. The Gemara says, no, matan schara la avida glu ye. A person will never come to appreciate the eternal reward for keeping Shabbos. What the eternal reward is for keeping Shabbos. Rashi says, if you tell the parents, lasis lo ois v'simen, shimiachleno kom shel limo tiretz ha'ois v'shaleno, miyas alach ha'kach v'o mirploni v'yam nasan l'pas v'toich ha'yadu av v'imo, shu oyevam v'tirba, chiba v'reyas v'yisrael. So Rashi says, why to tell the parents? So she cause a bond, she cause a connection, she cause a closeness. You know, people ask me if someone has a baby, give them a gift or not. I say, of course you should give them a gift. It's a Jewish concept. You know why? People feel good when they get gifts. It feels nice to be cared of. Or someone's sick, right? You have the flu, and somebody drops off a warm pot of chicken soup. No, it causes a connection over here. We have Purim coming up. I just got my first email from Mrs. Lerner about the Shalach Manos campaign. I'm like, trying to get through the dinner and the Shabbaton, but Shalach Manos, here we come, right? So, but you know what Shalach Manos, it's a good feeling. It's not people. So if somebody drops off Shalach Manos at your house, at your door, right? Beautiful arrangement of Shalach Manos. You don't see a name. Okay, you may feel a little bit good, but you don't know who to connect that love to. You don't know, if somebody drops off chicken soup, well, first of all, you may worry about the kashrus. Right? But beyond that, you don't know who to thank. So instead of feeling a feeling of warmth towards a person, right, that's a loss. Well, this is what the Talmud says. Okay? Sugizu Isa Gam Shabbos. It's a revolver then quotes, it's also a Mesechus in Shabbos. And he says, Vedavka Mamatana Shinasana Adi Ava. What kind of gift should you inform a person that you're giving him or her, right? It's a matana shena makabel mispayish. If you're not going to embarrass the person, right? If you're giving charity, right? If you're going to, if the person's needy and it's a little bit humiliating to get, right? So then it's better not to tell the person that you're giving it to him. So that's what Tosha says. Ha nice and stuck, ha shena makabel mispayish. If you give charity, the person who's getting it is going to feel uncomfortable around you a little bit. There's a slight feeling of shame. The pasuk says, "Matan b'seisar yichbe'af," that a hidden gift takes away the wrath of God, which it's an atonement for you. Not to tell the person, it's a merit. Haribitztaka by charity, for example, a derech haratsuya b'yoyser who shenoysen eino yodel and ishunoysen. The best way of charity is you don't know who you're giving to. Okay, so you should feel well and comfortable with him, and he should know who he's getting from. Which is not the case by a gift. HaTorah Hekbida. The Torah is careful, right? Shamakabo Yeda Dafka Mimihu Kibo. It's important to know who's giving you a gift. Now, a gift is not charity, which means it's gratuitous, right? You don't need it per se, right? It's something that's understandable, okay? Something which is normal to get, so you're not going to feel embarrassed, you're just going to be appreciative. Well, if you're getting a gift, it's important to know who you should appreciate. Kizek kol gather matana, the harvest chib of reis. And Shmuel Birnbaum, Zecharon Levracha, was a Rosh Hashiva of Mir in Brooklyn. So I remember he used to say, he was a big tzaddik, he always say that when you're engaged to somebody, it's important, there's Jewish customs, the chassan gives something to the kala, the groom gives to the bride gives to the groom, right? There's a ring, there's a watch, all kinds of things. These are important things. It creates a connection, right? If you get balloons before you're engaged from your chassan, before your Shabbos kala, flowers, whatever you like, chocolates, right? Dark chocolate, whatever it may be. It's not just that, it creates a bond, right? It creates a bond. So it's important to know who you're getting it from, right? If you get a birthday card, happy birthday, not signed, it's nice, something, better than nothing. You read these stories about people who are, these tragic stories, like people who write themselves birthday cards because nobody remembers their birthday. Your heart cries for such people, right? Nobody remembers their anniversary. Dear so-and-so, happy anniversary. I mean, these are true stories. But you know what it is to get a car with somebody signing and their name? I thought about you on your birthday. It creates a connection. Creates a bond, and it's important to know that. Right? It's important to know it for the giver and for the taker as well, see soon as well. Because it creates a connection. The cost of Admor, by Rav Yerucham Levavitz, the great Mashkich, the Mir, who was a teacher of Olam, not like we think that having gratitude or being an ingrate who begather my love yisar and hechsher, it's whether you're a pious person, a righteous person is a gracious person, he has gratitude, a sense of hakara satoiv. It's an act of piety. It's an absolute obligation to have gratitude to the people who give you in this world. If you don't have gratitude to the people who give you, who benefit you in this world, you're a gazlan. You're stealing. And if you don't allow the person to have gratitude, you're causing the stealing. You're complicit. Valpi did mamish yesh alam akabel hispainin. Completely different. What do they call this generation? The me generation? Ever heard of that term? The me generation? What? The me generation. Different focuses. So, it's me. Life egocentric. The Torah is absolute obligation. Anyone who gives anything good in this world, we're obligated to stop. To think, to recognize, Hakar Sato means to recognize the good. First of all, what you got, and to appreciate the gift that you got. Right? Anytime you have something that's a gift, something that's good, right, it's something to stop and to appreciate. What an unbelievable thing. Right? Somebody gave me something, oh, this is great. Thank you. A good feeling. Stop and appreciate the gift. Hakaras Hatayiv Himida says Revolba. Hakaras Hatov, recognizing the good, i.e., gratitude, is a character trait. Hanayhages ben Adam v'chavero, between a person and his friend. We'll see, by the way, a few of Hakaras Hatov. How it will change your relationship to your spouse and vice versa, spouse to you. Hakaras Hatov of a child to a parent to a child, friends to teachers, right? Hakaras Hatov, your relationship to people around you, if you appreciate the good that they give you, it's a different galaxy. Ben Adam L'Chavero. It changes your Ben Adam L'Chavero. Can you imagine you stop and you appreciate the gifts to God? Your relationship when you come into shul and you think of what Hashem has given you in this world. Right? Ben Adam Lamakim. And we're all going to embellish on it. Please stay for the next few weeks. Let me just be gone. Ve'afilu ben Hamakim ve'adam. And even, there's a kaviyachal, God has appreciation when we give to Him. We don't really give to Him, but we act like we're giving Hashem. Right? Arei matzino b'tora parshas shlemus. This whole parshas, Icha Kadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world, is makir toiva la'adam. God appreciates when man makes efforts, and he requites the good that we give, or he appreciates his gratitude. For example, the parshas of the Nadavas Anasim, when the Nasim, when the Mishkan was consecrated, and they all gave gifts. There were gifts of the elders, the princes of the tribes. Shekazo Sham HaRamban, the great Spanish sage Nachmanides points out, God gave honor to those who fear him. As the verse says, you honor me, God says, I'll honor you. God was had gratitude. These people honor God, so they got honor out of God's appreciation. God recognized each one for their offering and appreciated every single one. And he brings a couple more examples like this. Al lanu, don't make a mistake, says Rav Volbe. Kimidazu rak li'inyan ben adam l'chaver. We think gratitude. Most of us at this table, who are people who come to this class, fantastic. We're working ourselves. That's a great thing to do. We're not just following the flow of life. But most of us, at some level, we don't look at our relationship to God as hakara satov. Most people, their relationship to God is give me, give me, give me. When they want to have a baby, they cry to God. When they want to get married, they cry to God. When they want to have a parnasa, they cry to God. Right? When they want to, fix a relationship with somebody, cry to God. I mean, most of us, it's a give me relationship. It, very few of us, it's like, thank you, Hashem. God, you give me so much. Thank you, Hashem. You can't control yourself. You say a bracha when you make a bracha. Right? Most of us, we say a bracha, an apple. We don't really thank God. At best, we do a religious ritual. We have a religious ritual. I'm obligated to make a bracha. And even if you're a frumma yid, you know what a frumma yid is? A really religious Jew. Well, really religious, you're going to say, Marich! A bracha like that, you maybe even put on your hat if you're a guy, you're a lady, Most of us aren't thinking of the appreciation of that, but we're just like thinking of the words. Like, I'm going to say the bracha. It's not like we're sitting there appreciating an apple. My cousin is married to a granddaughter, one of the great tzaddikim who passed away. Actually, passed away the day I got married. This is Leviah's day I got married. His name was Avigdor Miller. Okay? So my father-in-law had learned by Rabbi Miller. He used to drive him around. So I remember he went to Leviah, but he couldn't because his daughter was getting married that day. So it didn't work out. But Rabbi Avigdor Miller, one of his grandchildren once said that he once hid under the table in his house. He had no idea he was there. He was there the whole day. He heard Rabbi Miller saying a bracha on an apple. And before he made a bracha on an apple, he said, "Oh Hashem, what a beautiful apple you gave me. It's so juicy. So tasty. You could have just given me the nutrition like a vitamin. And you could have made it ugly and it could have been tasty, but it's red. And it's shiny." And he's sitting there talking about an apple like this. And it wasn't fake. That's how when he was eating an apple, like he won the lottery. That's how he felt. That's a Jew who loved and appreciated God. Right? Most of us, at best, we have a karas atov to people if we remember sometimes, or if they remind us, or if we're forced to. We relate our relation to Hashem, and I mean this for our benefit, just you should think about it. Our relation to Hashem is, when do we cry? When do we daven long? It's when we need something. Right? When life is tough. Life is difficult. God, please, I'm your loyal servant. And then we get from Hashem, I need this money to give tzedakah. This is what you want, Hashem. It's all true. I'm not taking away any of that. We should cry to Hashem when we need something. If we're crying to Hashem, that's a great thing. But guess what? Think about a relationship in human terms. Right? Now, it's good to cry to Hashem. I don't want to take away anyone's crying to Hashem. It's a fantastic thing. But if all our whole relationship is crying to Hashem when we're needy, right? It means we're always going to feel lacking, eh? our whole relationship to Hashem is when we're lacking. We don't have the appreciation, so we feel lacking in this world. Right? So we walk away mourning. I gave an example yesterday. Again, I wasn't even talking about Hakar Sotah, but just an example. I have young ladies come to my office who want to get married. Okay? Want to get married. There is nothing more important in life. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing for a man or lady at the appropriate age to get married. Okay? Until you're married, you are half a soul, half a body. Right? Yiddishkeit, Judaism stresses that marriage completes a person not only obviously on a physical level, but on a spiritual level. It's the highest. It bonds you, it completes you. If you marry the right person, it will better you in every form or fashion. There's nothing more important. And what I was discussing was you need to have a burning desire to get married. Mom is your burning desire. If you don't have a... I was dealing with someone recently, a gentleman, was a student of mine, not living on the West Coast. He's living on the East Coast. So I took him to a gadol. So he said he asked the gadol to get married. This person, his approach to marriage is like on his free time between his job, you know, and his exercise and his learning, he wants to get married. So like, and he's already an older person. This guy doesn't need to get a bracha to get married. I asked him, no, he doesn't need a bracha to get married. He needs a bracha to desire to get married. his priorities are wrong. What he's really lacking is an absolute burning desire to get married. He doesn't realize how lacking he is without being married. So let's say you have a person, a young lady in particular. Young ladies are more spiritually sensitive. So a girl at a younger age will feel a desire. My sister was like 21. She was like going crazy. She wasn't married. Right? She's going crazy. She now has a kid. Baruch Hashem is my youngest sibling. Right? Baruch Hashem. But she was, you know, there's a strong feeling of the desire to build a Jewish home, to get to the next step. So it's a fantastic thing. One problem. Marriage takes two. And you don't meet someone day one. So it can take a person a year, two, three, four, five sometimes, right? To meet somebody. Longer. Longer. Right? But so does that mean, and you're a person sensitive, right? They know that you're going to mourn for one, two, three, four, five, or longer, right? I mean, you're going to sit there half of a life, you're going to be like comatose through life, like, of course not. She doesn't want us to be mourning. He wants us to be proactive, he wants us to cry to him, but he wants us to be happy too. He wants us to recognize that Hashem runs the world, I have to do my part, right? And that was a ton of Amunah. I don't want to go there right now. But the point is, if all our relationship to God is when we cry, that's a part of an off relationship. Right? And we don't appreciate life. We're not happy. I'm not married. I don't have my kids. I don't have a job. I'm sickly. Why me? Right? You don't live life happy. So until you get married, until you have a kid, until you get the job, until you get healthy, you're not living life. That's what Hashem wants from us. Right? There's always going to be things we lack. That's Olam Hazeh. This world, some are more crucial, don't get me wrong. Because there are levels of things we lack, right? You know, but no matter what, Hashem, every day of our life wants us to be happy. Right? The point of life is not to sit there mourning. Can you imagine a young girl at 22 is desperate to get married she wants to marry a tzaddik. And she wants to build a Yiddish shtub, a Jewish home. Right? And she wants to raise Jewish children. I mean, you can't get better than that. How can you take away this young girl's dream? This is fantastic. She has the beautiful hashkafas, a beautiful worldview, and that's what a young girl should want to have. Right? Imagine this girl is not destined to get married to 28. Do you think God's plan is for her from 22 to 28 to sit there mourning? She should appreciate every single day she has. She should live life and love life. What a tragedy if a young girl wastes 6 years of her prime of her life, 6 of the best years of her life, from 22 to 28 mourning. She's not fully mourning, she has fun sometimes, but she's mourning at some level. I mean, she's not at 20, she's mourning at some level. That would be a tragedy. That would be a tragedy. Hashem wants us, but the only way you're going to do it is you have to appreciate the good. Now you have to be thankful for all the tayyibas. People make mistakes as a vote, but they think that Hakaras HaTayyib, that gratitude is the relation to people. They don't think God gratitude. How many of us when we say Maidani, do we think Maidani? Thank God I'm alive. And we see, I can see, I can smell, you know, like once in a while, like once in like in a nice day like today, it gets Nice warm weather, we see a flower, wow. But most of our lives, we walk around with gratitude towards God. Thank you, Hashem. Read Tehillim. I love Tehillim. I mean, you read how David HaMelech looked at the world. Read Tehillim. See how David looked around life. I mean, you want to talk about trials and tribulations. You look at the life of David. I mean, his brothers scorned him. His father was unsure of his yichus. Hey, his father tried to kill him. His wife was taken away from his sons rebelled. I mean, like, you can't even imagine a life like that. I mean, God, King David HaMelech. Everything is beautiful in the world. I mean, he recognizes, Hashem, I love you. I appreciate. Thank you, God. Thank you. I mean, that's where Mashiach comes from, David. I mean, it's such a trait. Right? So people make a mistake. They think gratitude is between man and man. The emes yamida ben adam la'atzmo. He says, but the truth is, it's not man and man and God. It's between man and himself. It's how we view the world. Kematzino makestam. Kema kadosh baruch hu. Hashem says to Moshe, actually I spoke about this recently, Emuel Aaron kach matzka v'natzka yadzcha meimi Mitzrayim. Take your stick and hit the waters of Mitzrayim. V'adam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. And all of each land is going to be blood. My two sons, every time, blood, this whole week, Dan, they're very into blood right now. Everything is blood. If you want to visualize it, you can ask my two sons. I'll help you with this. So the Amru B'Medrash, the Amru B'Medrash, Lama Lo Laka Amai Amai Le'Moshe. Why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu who was the one who hit the sea? Remember, I discussed it. You can listen to the CD from my Shabbos lecture. If it exists, please tell me. Why Moshe could have kissed the water? Obviously, it was a lesson to be taught. Then Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hit the water. God could have made it in a million different ways that the water didn't turn to blood. Not from Moshe. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Amayim Shishmeruha Keshulachis Liur Eino Din Shelachyadcha Chaliyacha Lo Yoka Al Yedei Aaron. This water that you were saved in, you can't be involved in the blood. Even though the turning to blood was a Kiddush Hashem. What a Kiddush Hashem! What a sanctification in God's eyes. At some level, it was a negative for the water. You can't be involved, Moshe. So, too much tzvardeo by the frogs. Aaron had to hit it for the same reason. And by kinim, by the lice. Moshe hit the ground. Aaron hit the ground on Moshe because the ground. Moshe hit in the ground when he killed the Egyptian. So, says Rav Volba, water and dirt the ground, they don't feel the hit. They're inanimate. Moshe had to have gratitude even to the inanimate ground. Even that sensitivity of gratitude. We have to have our karas hatov. It's not between us and God, us and man. It's between us and ourselves. It means we have to look at the world of what benefits us, and that obligates us. Right, the ground, there's nothing, the ground doesn't get anything. The world doesn't get anything, but we gain something. When our perspective is that we appreciate things that benefit us in this world, when I spoke about this on Shabbos, I think it was giving a taste a few weeks ago, I mentioned that the Kotzker Rebbe, when he would put clothes that were worn out, he wouldn't throw it straight to the garbage. He would wrap it up first, because he appreciated the shoes that let him walk on it. He wasn't appreciating the shoes. It was a recognition in himself, right? That I benefited from the shoes. It was a perspective changer. I mentioned that Rav Gustman used to water the flowers in Israel because when he was in the Holocaust as a partisan in the forests of Lithuania, he lived off flowers and wildflowers. So he'd water flowers to appreciate what the flowers gave from the world. Do you know what that does to Rav Gustman? It changes his perspective of the world. If he waters those flowers, he's a grateful person. You know what it does to a person's whole character to be a person who appreciates in this world? Then it's natural to appreciate people in Hashem. Right? If we appreciate all the good that comes to us, right, it's natural. And that's what we're going to be working on. So we'll start the first Vod today. Yeah.
It's interesting that Hashem let Aaron strike the water in the sand because he benefited. It saved his brother's life. But this is a personal thing, as you said.
Right. It's a personal. It's a personal. And it could be in certain circumstances, For example, obviously if somebody helps your children, you are indebted because they're helping you. But you know that there's it's a less of it than your children themselves. Happens to be your although your children are great, they may not even have, they at this point may not have as much appreciation as you do. But really, the more savvy we are, the more we can appreciate the gifts that we have, right? Hamakirtov. So we do the first vod. And remember, if we could just think about this, just stop for a moment. Can you imagine a life? Can you imagine waking up and appreciating life, appreciating even our difficulties, our the people around us, the gifts that we have, the abilities that we have, the opportunities that we have, how that would change our personal happiness in this world, how that would change the depth of our relationships with individuals and Hashem. I mean, this is a different galaxy. It's a different Weltanschauung, a different worldview, how a person lives in the world, and it affects everything. So remember that. This is the goal for us. If we don't do these exercises, I'll tell you what will happen. We're now past anger. So in 6 months now, we'll be past gratitude, wherever it will be. We'll gain something. I'm positive anyone who comes here, listens to these classes, they will gain something, but nearly enough of what they could gain. I just want to stress, you know, the exercises we discuss for our benefit. We gain, and the time invested is eternal. It's like, you know, like a person is on a job, and if they just take the training and they would implement it, their whole job would be better for eternity. Right? But they just still not job doing the old thing. It just doesn't make sense. Right? So we do that very often in life. We hear beautiful lessons from the Torah. And because we don't know how to implement it, they just stay beautiful lessons. So of course, everything we hear, right? Hearing is extraordinarily important. I'm giving a class tomorrow night for the men, so I would encourage you to send your husbands about Shmiras Einayim, watching your eyes, watching the eyes of a man. Men are weak creatures, extraordinarily weak, and the eyes are windows to the soul, right? And certainly, everything we see at certain levels. Right, it affects us, men and ladies. Just men in certain areas, it really affects. And you know, so we're always affected by what we hear, and we see. That's for sure. Listening to Torah, it goes into our ears, it goes through our brains and through our souls. It has a purifying effect. It has a purifying effect. But if you want it to become part of us, if you want to become holy and halik, which is the point of life, we got to actually make efforts, and these vadin, these lessons are empower us to really inculcate these tremendous lessons. And quite frankly, right, if we do, our rest of our lives could be on a higher plateau. It's not all or none here. Any level, any extra gratitude that we get, is fantastic. If we raise the bar even a little bit, we've bettered our whole this world and our whole next world. But just by doing that, right? Our blessings on food will be different. Our blessings on food will be different. Our prayer will be different. We say tefillah will be different. We call our parents, or if a person's not fortunate enough to have parents alive and they think about them on their yard site, it will be different, right? When we deal with our spouses, right? Even though he forgot to have the garbage again, you know, we deal with our children, right? It will be different because we have gratitude. It's just a different galaxy, and I say this because it's something that we should all yearn for, but the way it will become real is by really implementing these vadim and these exercises. Okay, I also just stress the good thing about being on tape is that you can listen to it in the car or as you're washing dishes. You know, it's not, you know, it doesn't have, just to review, because if you want to implement it, the more you hear things, it's not me, you can hear me whenever you want, but it's the words of the text that really are important, and the more we're conscious of it, if we're working on it, the more we'll bring it a part of our lives. You know, the thing about working about on one midah, one character trait at a time, what it does is it allows us to focus on it. It's very hard to focus on three different midahs, right? And the point of this series is to focus on one midah at a time, because that's the way you can really make a dent. So the first vod, Hamakir Toivra Shechaveiro HaToiv, when you serve their friends or your loved ones. Hamakir Toivra Shechaveiro HaToiv Yodea Shechaveiro Oyavo. A person who stops and thinks of the good that somebody does for them, they know that their friend loves them. They feel the love, the care, the concern of their friend, of their relative. Uchamayim haponim haponim, as the verse, the pasuk says in Mishlei, in Proverbs, like water, like you see a reflection of water. Kein leiv ha'adim ha'adim. If you feel love, you will give love. If you stop and you feel, my husband, he took out the garbage for me. He filled up, he made me my favorite coffee. You will give him more love. Right? If you feel love towards your parent, you will give them more love. When you feel, when you stop and appreciate the love, you will give more love. And on the contrary, if you stop and your friend gave me something, my friend said shalom aleichem, he called to see how I'm doing, and you feel good, and you call him back or her back, you increase friendliness, warmness, goodness amongst the Jewish people. Stopping and appreciating the good is ma'oreres ahava. It causes love. We have a few parents in the room. If any of our children stopped and thought, they're still young. Mine are pretty young. Can you imagine they realize what in the world it means to take them to the doctor in the middle of the day, you know, in the middle of the night? Or if we think about our own parents, like we're, you know, how many of us ever think about this? Really, does any of us think about our parents fed us, our mother, you know, nursed us, or gave us bottles, whatever it meant? We just stop and we appreciate what that meant. Right? They paid for our school. I paid for my tuition. I was paid for a long time. You know, I was invested in. Hey, you appreciate it. How many of us stop and appreciate these type of things? I believe if we'd ever have a car for a spouse, we would love our spouse 100 times more. Right? We think, you know, we're supposed to get married. Like, plenty of people don't get married. Plenty of people have hard marriages. I realize, you know, my spouse, he loves me. She loves me. He takes care of me. And even if they're not perfect, no one marries. No one's perfect in the world. I'm not perfect either. And you stop and you think about that, and you appreciate the good. It's ricochet. It's kamayim panim. You appreciate. You have more love, and it causes more love. This is a tremendous foundation on the wisdom of having good character traits. Sha'akara satayv megli the ava, certainly in relation to Hashem, as we'll see as well. It's such a foundational character trait. And the fact that you hear that recognizing the good causes love. If you don't have appreciation, it won't last. It won't last. If you don't have gratitude in your relationship, whether it's to Hashem, to your friend, to a spouse, it's not going to last. Right? It won't be as passionate. Marshall ibn Ezra, give you an example of a married couple. Achakama shagala ava b'nei b'tchila. Even if they're passionate, excited, in love, givey in the beginning. And if over the years, ain echa makir b'tayvasu shal asheni. Right? You don't appreciate the good, you'll start thinking, oh, who could I have married? Look at me. Or what could I have done? Right? I've settled. This guy just barely does something, or she, or he. Right? On the contrary, you can even come to have a disdain. It may not be a full disdain, it may be a partial disdain, or an annoyance with your spouse. It's everything. I've never met a kid. I'm telling you, I've been a rabbi for 6 years. I've probably been in Jewish education for 10 years. I've done many children and parents. I know I'm not from Shmuel Kamenetsky, but I've dealt with it enough. Okay, I've never met a kid who appreciated their parents, right? Who had talked about their parents and had friction. everyone has tensions, but it's when do people have friction? It's when they can't appreciate the good, when they're just blinded and they just don't see the good. All they see is the problems. Right? If a kid's taught walking and taught, my mother, my father, they do this to me. I don't hear the complaints. You don't hear the complaints. So, what do your parents do? I don't know. They just torture me. They nag. She nags me. They give me a hard time. You don't hear them talk about the good. You almost want to counsel these kids. Like, you mean your parents don't do anything for you? They don't pay for you. I don't know. Like, you don't hear it. The minute you hear a kid saying, "My mother, my father, they love me. They do this for me," you don't hear the complaints. And when you hear it, it's mitigated. It's like poo pooed almost, right? It's when you can't see the good. Right? Or it's just not there. I'm waiting for a day for someone to come to my office. My parents are fantastic. They do this and 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 this for me. But no, I have had a few people say, "I love my parents. They're great. They do this." Happens you need to know how to communicate something. That happens. That's normal, right? Communication skills, but you're not you don't view them as evil people. You view them as fantastic, and because you view them as fantastic, you want to deal with the situation correctly. Right? That's normal. That's a good thing. But when you hear people they can't find something good, then you can hear the real complaints. Right? You can hear like the same parents who give this kid. I had one family, two different kids, you know, like different galaxies of stories. Like, somebody recently told me they're dealing with twins. You know, and the twins. Now, there is no question that people perceive things differently, but the number one I would say the difference in the kids growing in the same house is one kid has a sense of gratitude and appreciation, and one not. You know, there are different kids who have different stories. This kid has a learning disability. This kid has this. There's no question. But the bottom line is, if a kid has gratitude, hakaras hatov, the complaints are very little. It's in his marriage, right? People don't come into my office and say, "Levine, my wife, she makes my favorite foods. She puts on makeup for me. She makes my bed. She calls me. She takes care of me when I'm sick." But that lazy lady, you know, they don't do that. It doesn't happen that way. It's. You know, that lazy lady. So, you mean she doesn't do anything for her? I don't know what she does for me. There's no recognition of the good, right? It's just, if you're living hakara sataiv, that whole relationship means even the things that should bother you, they really don't bother you. Or you mitigate them. Because you're focusing on the good. It's like the good's overwhelming. And it's not a focus. I mean, so it changes everything. But in Vahirim, you have a partner. Oh, my partner is a great guy. I mean, so the conflicts are mitigated. That's good. Every partnership has tensions, right? You know, different strokes for different folks. People think differently, right? But successful partnerships are people who recognize and focus on the good of it. Baal Bayis to Paul, employers and worker, employees and employers. Yefshar shibirobas hayam shibirei adam chayim biyachad. It's impossible. When people are living together for many years or many time for long with the long standing relationships, lo yizgalu likoy nafsho b'midas harayis v'hargilim ram. People are going to get, you know, bad days, annoyances, difficulties, lack of, you know, what you wouldn't want. Akol shemekirim gam hatoyv shemekablu mehem yuchol lador b'kfif achas. As long as you recognize the good, you can work with a person. One of the Amoraim Rav had a very, I wouldn't call her evil, but difficult wife.
Contentious.
Contentious, very difficult, right? Contentious is a good word. But he'd stay married, and he was happy, believe it or not. You know why? Because he focused. She raises my children, and she saves me from sin. That was his focus on his wife. Even in a really difficult marriage, he was happy because he focused on the good that she gave him. Says the Rosh, the people generally blind themselves from the good, and they sit there and they focus on the bad. then they harp on it and they focus on it and they and that becomes, right, you know, a person could have a wonderful life, wonderful kids, and they're just, right, something's not the way they like it. Right, and they don't appreciate anything they have. they're like almost blinded by all of the good in life. Right? They're just like, and they have so much, so many wonderful things, and they're missing one thing that they want, or you know, in their whether it's in life or in their spouse, and their children, and their job, and they're just miserable people, right? Because they're focusing on the bad.
The classic example being Haman.
Right,
he bowing down to him, Mordechai,
and he was miserable.
He was
right, and so that came already from his ancestor Esav, mm-hmm. right, of Yesh Lirav. So Marav Eifol Chachivas Avoda Ma'akaras HaTov. It's Lamed Brach Shetiyat Tiapach HaTavas. We need to literally inculcate in to our nature should be one of gratitude. If we have gratitude in our nature, appreciation, we will metamorphosize in relation to every person, everything we do in this world. Mutav shislam this bekantia kshur bepula. So you gotta connect it. Right? Gratitude can't just be thinking gratitude, which is already a step. Most of us go through life, you know, I'm positive that many of our loved ones or people we dealt today did us favors. Or did something for us at some level. Right? Or how about this? Or we're still the beneficiaries of this to this day. You know, I imagine everyone's in this room. Their parents took care of them. They paid for their, you know, it's not their. If you know yeshiva, you know your parents pay for your day school education. But we're still the beneficiaries. They pay for our college. However they help. We're benefiting today. You know, most people they thank their parents at graduation 23 years ago. And I don't owe them anymore. How about I gained today from that education that they gave me? Right, my mommy taught me to say please and thank you. I got a job because I know how to say please and thank you. I got married because I know how to say please and thank you. So shouldn't I appreciate that today? You know what we say in Hallel? What do we say in Hallel? I always think about these things in Hallel. Hodu Hashem ki toiv. Ki v'olam chazdo. Right? Thank Hashem because he's good. He's chesed forever. Somebody helps you. It doesn't disappear with time. Right? Somebody helped you. That doesn't disappear with time. They helped. They changed your life course at some level. Sometimes they majorly. They set you up to get married. Fantastic. They changed your whole life. Even if you haven't seen them for 30 years, you're indebted to them. Right? Hey, your mother taught you something when you were four. Oh, I pick on the mother. The father taught you something when you were 4 years old. Right? Father teach also. Right? You thank your father. By the way, fathers, in some families get no appreciation. It's like the mother's one's home. Father works. Kids don't even realize where their money comes from. Right? Kids don't realize where their money comes from. Right? And you know, you have this like, classic example of the father's a little bit removed from the house, and the kid never, you know, appreciates what the father gave. Of course, you know, it's easier to the person you deal with. But it could be a lot of things that come from the father. No one stops to think about that. Right? So both of the father and the mother, to think about the eternal good that they gave you. The eternal good that they gave you. But it has to be connected to deeds. You know, Matzino, we find in Parshas Bikurim, right, the first fruits of the Jewish people brought up in the time of the temple. Shenamar Sham Uvas Elakayin. You would bring it up to the Kayin, the first fruits, and you would say that I am, this is based on Rashi, I'm not a person who's ungrateful. God, He gave me fruit. I'm bringing my first fruit. Thank you, Hashem! Hod Hashem ki toiv. Hare tzarech lahagi b'parshas bikurim b'pemal. When you bring up the first fruit, you gotta articulate it. Thank you, Hashem. It's not enough to have a warm feeling in your heart. I love my spouse. I love my parents. I love my children. I love my boss. Of course, I love my rabbi. Right? Right. So you gotta actually thank you. And you have to articulate it. It's not enough just to say, you know, I'm trying to remember who said this. that the saddest words the words never said. Right? The people who could have thanked their parents, thanked their loved ones, thanked their teachers, and they don't have the chance anymore. Right? Don't just think it. Say it! Right? But not only because you may lose the opportunity, because that's what the Torah wants from us. That's how we bring it out to the fore. That's how we increase it. Right? That's how you concretize it. You take the potential to kinetic. Right? You bring what's inside to outside. Eva, when did they do this? Shalosh, Nislan Eva, Shalosh Pamim Bayom, Lahakir Atoivish Aisim Anabri Adam. So now we're getting to the thing. Every single day. Okay? Starting now. Starting today is, tonight is Yud Shvat. We're even going into Tu B'Shvat. It's a great week to do this. Right? All the fruits, right? Yud Shvat. Right? Every day, you gotta stop, he says, Rav Olba. Think of three things that a person did for us and say, thank you. Right? Or more effusive than that. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. Stop and think about it. Three people a day, three times a day. Right? It doesn't have to be that somebody paid off your loan, somebody picked you up from the hospital, somebody, you know, the mailman just gave you the mail. Thank you so much. Right? The doctor took care of you. Really, I appreciate the doctor took care of me. Right? Certainly, if a loved one, stop and think about it. Articulate, thank you. Right? You specifically asked your husband to stop by for lunch, and he stopped by. Thank you. It wasn't easy for him. He changed his whole schedule that day. Thank you. Three people every day. It doesn't have to be great things. Hamoicher b'chanuso. A person selling in the store. Go to parts. If you get lots of thank yous, it's a good thing. Limsa b'shulah b'diukis ma sha'anu mevakshin liknas. And this has to be true about parts. I'm not just here to promote. If you ask the Kaluns to get something, they'll get it for you. Right? I know this, my wife gets all the time. It's for Pesach, there's a whole order going for Pesach. What can we get for you? I'm sure people say thank you to you, but I imagine sometimes it's not easy to get, right? You have to look around, right? And people take it for granted after a while. Right, of course it just came easy. Right? It's not, you should thank them. Right? First you thank them for being open. They provide a service to the whole community. Right, but that's only with Pars. Let's say you're not in. Of course, if you're in San Jose, you go to Pars. But if you're not in San Jose, you're going to some strange neighborhood like I don't know, San Francisco, Oakland, these faraway places. Right, you're going to visit, let alone like Seattle, these countries. You're somewhere else. Some of you go to a store. You don't even know the proprietors. You don't know where they are. You don't have nothing to do with them. They provide you a service. You needed your Chalav Yisrael milk, and now they got it for you. You wouldn't get it otherwise. You can't imagine what it would have been without your Lieber's cookies. What would life have been that day without my Lieber's cookies? They had the Lieber's cookies. Thank you. Right? It's a very small thing, perhaps. Right? It's a small thing, but it's something to appreciate. Right? Someone serviced you. You had a post office person. They did. The fact that they're getting paid doesn't take away the fact that they helped you. Right? He goes in a taiva, umaba kakshus. For me, it's a good. Imagine your meal doesn't come that day. Right? Today, Martha King Day, no mail. There's no mail today. No mail, right? No mail, Martha King Day. So, some of us are like waiting for the mail. Right? It bothers us. We're expecting, most of us, if you have a birthday card coming, right? If you're waiting for the card. When we want mail, we wait for it. Why wouldn't we say thank you when we get it? You go to a doctor. Right? I mean, doing a service. Somebody helps you. The fact of getting paid doesn't change the fact that they're helping you. Misha Magis Lano Oichal, somebody gives us food. They're servicing us. Misha Menachas Batenu. I tell you, my wife, when the cleaning ladies come in there every week, she's very grateful. She's, for the first time or whatever, since my kids, the hurricane came through. Usually there's about five hurricanes a day in my house. Six, once you should forget, my youngest is too young to make a hurricane. My old five olds are capable of messing up the house quite quickly, especially my two sons. So, I mean, it's a great thing. They are, the fact that we're paying them, they're doing me a tremendous service. My house is a bahala. Right? I don't complain. My wife, I'm fine. My wife is like thrilled that they come. Thrilled. Thank you. to appreciate, wow, my house was dirty. I didn't have my meal, and I was really anxious to see what the spill is. I was nervous about my kid's cold, and now the doctor gave me a prescription and told me I don't need a prescription. Now I know I can walk around, don't need a prescription. I was starving for my Empire Chicken, and now I have my Empire Chicken, right? I needed my Renaissance Chal, and now I'm like, oh, thank you, right? And these are even not intimate things. Hey, certainly, your husband calls you at lunchtime, right? He's a busy guy. He has 15 things to do. He called me? Thanks so much for calling. I expected he calls me. What if he didn't call me that day? Well, maybe my day would have been a little less cheery that day. Thank you for calling me. I appreciate the fact that you called me today. That's very kind of you that you called me today. Right? My brother called me today to see how I'm doing. My brother has to call me? Thank you for calling me, my dear brother. I haven't spoken to you for 2 weeks. It's nice to speak to you. What a treat it is to speak to you. Thank you for calling me. After the call, I appreciate that your brother called. A good word. Right? Gratitude. Certainly if somebody really helped us, right? Right? Somebody really helped us. Somebody really helped. We were sad today. We had a difficult day. We had to work. Somebody put me in a good mood. What a chesed. Somebody put me in a great mood. Somebody sent me a picture of my child at the carnival, and I would never have had this picture. Thank you. Somebody came and told me one of your husbands are the best guy. You know, puts you in a good mood. Your husband's helped me out tremendously. They gave your husband a compliment. And that made your day better. You know, I mean, appreciate all of these things in life. You'll see a world full of chesed. A world full of good. And if we do this, we'll create. First of all, I'll tell you, I don't think I'm unique. I like giving to people who are appreciative. Someone says thank you, it induces me to do more for this person. They're appreciative. Right? I do something I tried it for everyone. I'm like everyone else. But if somebody says thank you so much, I really, really appreciate this, you know, please, you know, this is great, thank you. I think it's natural to want to do more for that person. As opposed to being either stonewalled or forgotten. Or even better, sometimes you help a person and they attack you. Really that strongly encouraged me to help that person again, right? They attack me for helping them. I mean, who in the world is going to want to help such a person? Okay, so we help people anyways. We feel bad for them out of mercy. But not out of love. Love, so if someone's grateful, not only are you helping yourself, your attitude, you're gonna have great relationships. Because people want to invest with you. People want to be around a grateful person. They're a good person to be around. They're not only are they quote-unquote fun, they're nice, they're caring, they're considerate. Right? People want to spend time with people who are grateful. People want to do things for people who are grateful. Right? Because they're appreciated. Everyone wants appreciation. Even with a store person, a barber, a housekeeper, a doctor, poor old rabbis. I'm not promoting rabbis, but it happens to be, even to myself, to my great dismay, your teachers in life, people don't even appreciate it. I mean, sure, you can, teachers get very little appreciation, right?
End of the year,
right, that's it. It's like, you know, once a year, I tell my mother every Mother's Day. My father doesn't even know what Father's Day is. But, my mother, like, I say, Ima, I hold Mother's Day as a Christmas thing. I say, for a guy who once a year they think about their mother, fine, you have a Mother's Day. But what kind of craziness is that? One day a year you thank your mother. It's like you send her flowers and that's appreciation. Right? I mean, every day should be Mother's Day, every day should be Father's Day, and quite frankly, every day should be Teacher's Day. Right? If you really appreciate what a teacher is giving you knowledge, do you know what knowledge is? What a gift. Right? Every day should be Teacher's Day. I mean, really, every day should be Teacher's Day. What? Right? No, but try talking to adult kids, to even people who are older who don't appreciate knowledge, right? But they're the wrong perspective. I'm paying tuition. They have to do this. Right? There's a lack of appreciation. Right? It's just a lack of appreciation. Don't you think if a teacher, you know, of a Rebbe sees a Talmud, a student wants to learn and is appreciative, they want to give more. It's natural you want to give more. You invest in people who appreciate the knowledge. I am the Schachel Moser, even Moser. So here's our assignment for this week, and I would say for the duration of this Vod. Okay? If you want to take this to the next step, my suggestion is you keep a little notepad and you do this and you write it down every day. Kol Yoyim, every single day. Right? Please don't write this on Shabbos, write it on Saturday night. Kol Yoyim, Lahakir Shloshaban, three people, right? Three people, and to say thank you or to express, at least first of all, to recognize it, but better, to actually articulate an appreciation. Thank you, my husband, for calling me for lunch. That's a card, appreciating the gift. Thank you, mailman, for bringing me the mail. Thank you, mom, for giving me a word of advice, even if it's unsolicited. I appreciate it. Thank you, my child, for picking up your dirty laundry. Of course the child should do that, but many children do not. This is great. The kids finally getting the lesson. Thank you. Our parents love to thank your child also. I think that's a very healthy thing. Thank you. Stop three times every single day and recognize three chasadim, three good things, and articulate thanks. That's our modus operandi. We'll notice we'll have a lot more than three times a day. Even a day like today, I'm sure I would question how many of us have said thank you to three people today. Do we take it for granted that our husband came home in a good mood? Do we take it for granted that our kids share their homework? Thank you for sharing your homework with me. I appreciate seeing what you're doing in school. Thank you, right, for the person who at work who said, how's your day? Thanks for asking how my day. It's so nice of you to be concerned about me. Even if you're a little perfunctory. Right? Stop three times a day. We'll realize there's chasadim, there's kindnesses all around us. And this is our opportunity for the weeks ahead to work on this, and we'll pick up next week. Any questions? Yes.
Just a comment. I think we're talking about being grateful for things that we perceive as good for us. So that's almost intuitive. Somebody's doing you a favor and you say thank you.
Do you think
but
so?
David HaMelech, well, maybe not intuitive. Maybe something you have to learn.
How many people do you think thank their husbands for calling or thank their children for picking up the laundry? You're so good. That's great.
I'm not saying I'm good, but I try. But David HaMelech had... When his son rebelled against him, he was grateful because he says, at least my son won't kill me. A stranger would kill me.
Right.
And even in bad things, you can appreciate that it's not worse.
Right. That's true.
I mean, that's already...
We're going to get there. I don't think so.
No?
No. It's just if your persona is one of gratefulness, you'll find gratitude in everything. Mm. It's not some lofty level, which I think everyone at this table is capable of that. Of course, if you're not grateful for the things which are a lot more basic, you're not going to be grateful for those type of things. But if a person inculcates gratitude, that's not, it's a level only because most people don't have basic gratitude. But when a person becomes a person of gratitude, they're able to reach that level. Now, when your son tries to kill you, granted, that's a lofty level. But seeing even difficulties and being grateful and having gratitude in those moments of difficulties, that's something, I wouldn't call it easy, but something definitely that we can all accomplish, and we'll hopefully work on the next set. Okay. Thank you all for coming tonight.